On yesterday's Stateside, we met the co-founders of Rocket Fiber, the ultra-high-speed internet service coming to downtown Detroit later this year and next year to Midtown Detroit. The prospect of fiber-optic cable serving up internet at least 100 times faster than what most of us are used to is mighty appealing. What is the history and the future of gigabit speed internet in Detroit and in Michigan? Larry Gant is here now with us. He's a professor at both the School of Social Work and the Penny W. Stamps School of Art and Design at the University of Michigan. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, Rocket Fiber's Mark Foster told us he wanted to beat Google to the punch and get that fiber optic internet into Detroit. But this isn't the first crack at this in Southeast Michigan, is it?
No, it's not. There have been at least two prior attempts to do something with the fiber system, the fiber cables in Detroit, particularly in downtown, midtown Detroit. There are a couple of examples of that. Gigatrans, certainly in the early 2000s. And then that was followed up by another attempt by Wayne State University and a corporation called Clearwire in about 2005, 2007.
Now, what happened to the two earlier attempts with Gigatrans and Clearwire?
Unlike the current activity, the expectations for both Gigatrans and for Clearwire, the thought was basically charge the corporations a large sum of money and then use that to subsidize high-speed Wi-Fi to the surrounding neighborhoods at a more reasonable price point, around $18 a month.
Sounds like a great idea. What happened?
Well, Gigatrans, I think the business model really suffered. The thought was they needed to have a certain core of businesses, you know, utilizing Gigatrans. And I think that did not materialize. I'm not quite sure what the model was and what the price point was for the corporations, but it was never sufficient enough. The price point was reasonable for families at $18 a month, but that there weren't enough families signing up. Gigatrans, the heart and soul was actually James Rose. And when he died, the family basically decided to liquidate the holdings of Gigatrans.
Okay.
And so it was sold off bit by bit. I think with Clearwire, that was something a little bit different, Cynthia. Clearwire was a company. They had a partnership with Wayne State University. They were also a part of the One Economy movement, an organization which worked out of Ohio. And Clearwire put all of its money down, kind of bet the farm, if you will, on a technology which is called WiMAX. WiMAX was a kind of a forerunner of, 4LTE and other kinds of Wi-Fi solutions. WiMAX was seen as the next big thing. There were unfortunately some technology limitations to WiMAX. The most notable one was that while WiMAX was very fast, the signal couldn't penetrate houses, couldn't penetrate walls, couldn't penetrate. So there was this notion of creating lots and lots of antennas to kind of saturate neighborhoods. That was a technological challenge, and I think when Sprint and when other companies came up with other technologies that provided solutions to WiMAX, Clearwire basically said, okay, this is a technology competition piece. We lost this.
Yeah.
We're
going to fold our tent.
Yeah. We'll fold the tent. And, the other larger telecoms went the other way. So the thought, I think, was, well, there are two possibilities here, WiMAX and then 3LTE, 4LTE, and the LTEs provided the solutions that WiMAX didn't.
We were told by Mark and Eddie from Rocket Fiber, if they get all that 1 gigabit speed internet service downtown, they want to expand into certainly Midtown, but other areas as well, Corktown and Woodbridge and Eastern Market and Lafayette Park and Rivertown. What's your thought? Do you see this becoming a profitable, self-sustaining effort?
It's really hard to say. I don't know what the business model is. I don't know what the price points are.
The demand is probably growing as people are coming downtown to move and in the outlying areas, no?
Well, if they've got the ability to pay, and certainly the neighborhoods that you mentioned that they indicated, those are the neighborhoods that are undergoing substantial gentrification. And people are moving into those relatively small areas that are very, very closely packed right around to the downtown and to the midtown areas.
Yeah.
So it certainly seems on the one hand that there might be market share sufficient to make this a sustainable initiative. I don't know, though.
Yeah. You know, the idea that Comcast is going to be pulling out of Michigan when it merges with Time Warner, I'm wondering, what do you see when that happens and Greatland Connections takes over? Do you think they're capitalized enough to keep internet service at least at current levels, if not actually improving?
That was, I think, the other big reason that GigaTrans had concern, as well as the Clearwire initiative. So it wasn't all only the problematic technology for Clearwire. It was also Comcast saying, you know what, we will undercut any kind of expectation there.
We will crush you.
And they essentially provided a real compelling price point themselves.
Sure.
They talked about cable as opposed to signals being placed by antennas. Mm-hmm. Now Comcast is going to be migrating on. My own opinion is the people that are replacing Comcast are going to probably end up being purchased by another entity that wants to basically make a lot of money liquidating assets. At some point, it wouldn't surprise me if the new entity ended up selling to Dan Gilbert, to this new business that's coming up.
Because those of us that have Comcast just want to know, are we going to be able to watch Game of Thrones the way we're used to?
I don't know. You may have another provider, but I don't think it's going to be that current provider that's currently taking over where Comcast is going.
We're talking with Larry Gant, who's a professor at the School of Social Work and the Penny W. Stamm School of Art and Design at the University of Michigan, as we look at ultra-high-speed internet service coming to downtown Detroit. We had talked with the co-owners of Rocket Fiber, so that is one option. And it seems that Detroit is getting closer and closer, Larry, to looking like a real tech incubator, especially if Rocket Fiber succeeds in what it wants to do and to close a digital gap. But what are you watching for reaching out to the neighborhoods? And they do say that's part of their mission. They want to train. They want to have a brick-and-mortar store where people can come for training. And they do want to close that digital divide. What do you see happening there?
There are some technological problems that I'm not that equipped to speak on that they're going to have to address. I mean, the majority of fiber is in downtown. If you want to go out to the other neighborhoods, or you're going to have to punch that out with some kind of signal transmission. You can't extend the cable. You can only extend that so far. The other is they might talk about allocating and distributing tiers of high-speed service. Mm-hmm. So it won't be gigabit speed. It'll be something that's slower, but something that still may get the job done. Now you kind of run into the issues of what's being talked about in terms of net neutrality, where, you know, people are really concerned on the one hand of providers, you know, basically being able to offer slower access to poorer neighborhoods and poorer communities. You got a situation here perhaps where the business plan of the initiative might also say, well, you know what, if you can afford it really, really high speed, and if you can't afford it, it'll be slower, but it won't be so bad.
What about other underserved areas, rural areas, for example? What is on the horizon, do you think, for improving internet speed and access?
You're still talking about some sort of satellite. You're still talking about a signal. Yeah. It's really, really unlikely that there'll be any more fiber being laid. As a matter of fact, the reason that this current group is actually using the fiber is because it's been there. Mm.
It's there.
It doesn't have to be laid out. Mm. It's simply there not being utilized. That is not the case for these rural communities.
I actually saw Google has something called Project Loon, a balloon network for rural and remote areas or to fill in those coverage spots. And then Facebook's talking about using a drone to beam down internet service with laser. So minds are working.
Several years ago, around 2009, 2010 in China, the Chinese government and some of the Chinese run businesses were experimenting with the same technology. Mm-hmm. You know, around having, you know, mobile platforms for beaming in information and beaming high-speed internet access to a lot of rural communities. So that's not a new idea. Maybe new to the U.S., but it's not new globally.
Was it successful?
Pilot runs indicated some degree of success, but I think that there were also some technological challenges. But conceptually, it appears to work.
Interesting. Larry Gant, professor at both the School of Social Work and the Penny W. Stamm School of Art and Design at the University of Michigan. Larry, thank you so much.
Pleasure as always. Thanks a lot.